This is Hagman and Hagman, or Hagman Report 4. I've been listening to too many. I've been watching too many old videos. This is a Hagman Report 4 today. It's Wednesday, February 25, 25th day of February 2026. I want to thank you for joining me, and thank you for your belief and trust in this platform. Apologies about yesterday. Illness in the family. Okay. Eric the Tech was not feeling well at all. Children, grandchildren, sick as dogs. So I just want to tell you that yesterday was an unexpected absence, but I thank you for putting up with us, and thank you for your kind words and patience and everything you do. Tonight, I have a great show for you lined up. By the way, I do hope that you took advantage of, in the absence, to watch the State of the Union speech yesterday. Real quick, before Sam Andrews joins me for this entire show, it's going to be just a barn burner of a show. I would like to play just 45 seconds from the State of the Union. And folks, the reason, to me, this tells me everything I need to know today. This tells me everything I need to know, and maybe Sam Andrews, when he comes on here momentarily, will like to opine on this. But as I sit here and as I look back at all of the hours upon hours upon hours upon hours of shows that we've done. I look back at everything that's happened with, really since 9/11 in the more recent realm, okay? And Sam, I know you're listening. Don't let me forget about the Ferguson effect. Just later in the show, remind me about that. But okay, I'm just going to put a pin there. But this 45 second, well, the reason I mentioned about the hours upon hours of shows we've done and looking backwards, looking at the present, looking forward, is because, folks, I don't know if we, as a patient, this country, I don't know if we can be saved in our current, and come out of this on the other side, looking as we did going into that. Let me just preface that, or couch that by that remark. The damage caused to this country over the last 20 years, and in particular over the last, I'll say, 8 years. Six years. It's been so great, and it's reflected. I believe it's reflected by this video. 45 seconds. That's all you need. 45. It tells me everything I need to know. Please watch this. Your thoughts on the other side. Here it is.
Agree with this statement, then stand up and show your support. The first duty of the American government is to protect American citizens, not illegal aliens.
When you look at that room, folks, you look at more, I would say, well, half of that room refused to stand to that particular question. And the question was, or the statement was, stand if you would support the rights of Americans over those of the illegal, the people here illegally. However you want to dissect that statement, that question. And when you have half the room refusing to stand, to me, that tells me everything I need to know about the state of this country. because each one of those representatives was elected or stole office, or but they're in office and they represent a large segment of the population. That doesn't include the 90 or so plus that didn't show up on the left. The ideological divide is so great, we cannot even have any normal conversations anymore. The polarization created in this country is beyond, in my opinion, it's beyond repair. Look, we've been, all of us together, we've been around the block, right? I'm just speaking from the heart. We've all been around the block. I watched and listened back in, after President Trump was first in office back in 2017. The promise of bringing the people, the coup plotters, all of the people, bringing them to justice. Where are they? If justice is a location or a destination, they ain't there. And let me tell you something. I don't believe that they're going to be there ever. I'm not going to go on. I'm going to bring Sam Andrews on. Sam Andrews, freedomtrain.net is his website. Freedomtrain.net is his website. Freedom Center USA, that's where he's located. Got a beautiful, just a fantastic place to train. You want a custom built, one of a kind AR-15 long rifle? Sam is the guy. You want to get trained properly to become proficient in firearms? Sam's the guy. There are so many other things that Sam knows very well, teaches, consults. I'm telling you, he's the guy. At first, I thought, well, there's a lot of guys like Sam out there. No, not really. No. Mm-mm. There's a lot of talkers. There's a lot of squawkers. There's a lot of people who pretend. A lot of people who say they are, but they aren't. Just how I see it. And you know, folks, after last Thursday, look, some people maybe felt underwhelmed about last Thursday's show. Did you? Oh, we're going to continue dumping files, dumping information, because we've got a lot more. We've got a lot of people to hold to account ourselves. We have a lot of people. We got a lot of stuff. Oh, and the entire Pizzagate matter, again, the bad word, it's improper, improperly rude. Pizzagate, stupid word. But you know what I mean when I say that, the Pizzagate. We have a lot of information that we haven't dropped, that we turned over to the federal authorities, to feds. Craig Sawyer, by the way. Busting perps left and right. But it's sad when you cannot, or it's sad when it becomes difficult for a district attorney or a U.S. attorney or any prosecutor at any level. It's sad when you cannot get them to pay attention. You can bring them evidence and they just say, okay, yeah, we'll take care of it. How fucked up is that? So, what, we just pissed away, you know, on this platform 20 years, we just pissed it away. All right. Before I continue with that, Sam Andrews, and by the way, thanks for, yeah, I'm distracted as well. My dog is lady. She adopted me when she was 8 weeks. Okay, we've been together ever since 2015, and she's hurting. Man, it's tough. She's gonna, you know, I took her with me today for a ride. We went to look at, she loves to watch the geese. So I took her and let her watch some geese, and I got some medication for her. I did some stuff. Took some time out and spent with her. And then, of course, she's hanging on. And the diagnosis is a combination of ITP, IMT. It's an immune, late onset immune system disorder, along with Cushing's as an underlying issue. And interestingly enough, the treatment for both, you can only treat one or the other, okay? Because you treat one, that aggravates the other. And then you put the other condition into a full-blown, you cause a crisis. Okay, so I'm throwing everything I have at this, and I'm just saying. So pardon my being out there a little bit, but so that's been the last couple of weeks. But she's still hanging on. She's okay. I mean, she's I'm impressed. She's got my attitude, which is screw everybody. All right. Sam Andrews, freedomtrain.net. Train like TRAIN, like treat like you're training. freedomtrain.net and Freedom Center USA. Make sure you remember those. Links will be in the program description box. Pretty much, well, all the platforms, the video and audio platforms, as well as HagmanPI.com. Sam, made you wait long enough now. Come on board. Thank you, my friend. Thanks for your patience. I appreciate your patience and kindness.
Doug, God bless you and your listeners, and thank you for having me. I really enjoy these conversations, and I think tonight will be fascinating for some people.
Well, you know what? I am pretty much ready to go in any direction you want to take us. I say that because I know I pretty much, I think you and I are on the same wavelength, but let me ask you to comment upon my opening remarks about the State of the Union address. I get the performative nature of the whole thing. You know, you have Nancy. I mean, remember that infamous scene where Pelosi ripped up the address behind Trump, destroying federal property, which, you know, what happened? Did anything happen to her? No, she got richer. She got richer. She got more. In fact, she was more empowered by that. And I look at last night, and I look at half, at least half, maybe more than half of the room's refusing to stand over a fundamental part of over the lifeblood of our country. Mm-hmm. And that was just one of many times where they acted up. And you know, you're a student of history. You know that many addresses in the Capitol, the many State of the Unions they were fiery. Some of the stuff, I mean, back in the old 1800s, man, they were kicking ass. I mean, there were fights breaking out and stuff, but not like this. Back then, they put country before their own personal gain. Today, not so much. So your thoughts on what I said and your thoughts on the video thing, and go wherever. Go ahead.
Well, historically, there's a fundamental difference in the motivation of the people that represent us as congressmen, House of Representatives, and Senators. Traditionally, we had men that were highly successful, that were highly intelligent, that came to Washington, D.C. to give back to the country and the economy that made them rich. And they did it for no money, not enough money to even sneeze at. The current crowd are a bunch of narcissistic sociopaths that show up in D.C., not for the 170-some-odd thousand or whatever the salary's been raised to since then, but for the right to get on a committee and do insider training and self-enrich at a level that's hard for the American people to understand. And Nancy Pelosi is the poster child of insider trading and self-enrichment. So that's the real difference. And a second difference is historically, our senators were appointed by the state legislatures. But that's not the important part. The important part was if they didn't serve the people of their state, the legislature would recall them almost instantly and replace them. Now that we elect our U.S. senators, it is much, much, much more difficult to recall a senator who has sold the people out. And what you saw last night in the State of the Union were a whole bunch of sellouts.
I'm with you there. I mean, you can't argue that point. Sellouts, 100%. I mean, the level of incivility, the level of disrespect, the level of hubris, the quite frankly insanity, or the entire there's no reasoning. How can you reason or have a conversation, dialogue, or how can you come to any kind of agreement with that ideological or those ideological drivers that drive the behavior of what we saw last night? How can you even? Is it possible? I don't think so.
No,
it's like trying to argue with a drunk in a bar. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, the greatest document that I ever read outside of Scripture, the greatest words other than the words in red in the New Testament. The Declaration of Independence. There's some other great things that I've read. Bonhoeffer's book, Ethics.
Yes.
The U.S. Constitution. And that's kind of where I want to go.
Please.
Because the U.S. Constitution was formed. And these guys, they couldn't solve every problem. They couldn't solve the slavery problem at the time they formed the U.S. Constitution. But what they did was they created a list of higher ideals, a better way to govern, separation of powers, equal protection under the law, these kinds of concepts that our founding fathers created. And by the way, they weren't created easily. There were years of debate, open, vigorous, intense, aggressive debate of ideas. And what worried me so much during the COVID era was the debate disappeared. There were doctors that didn't agree with the COVID policies, and there were doctors that stepped in line and cashed their checks. And there was no debate. Anyone who dissented from the World Health Organization, the CDC, the federal government's mantra, were threatened or had their medical licenses pulled. And there's a lot of doctors that remember that and remember being fearful that they would lose their job, lose their house, lose their car, get a divorce, lose their kids, all because of these crooked threats.
And if I can add just real quick, there is at least one, if not more, medical doctor in Texas that is still, as a matter of fact, officially lost her license through the Texas Medical Board, whatever that board is actually formally known as, just this year. Okay. So it's still happening, Sam. It is still taking place. Go ahead. It's still going on. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I think there's been some great lessons learned by the American people. I mean, I can tell you, at the Freedom Center, when we formed the Freedom Center, there were four businessmen, four entrepreneurs. Same as our founding fathers, great men had made their fortunes, and we wanted to do something to give back. We created the Freedom Center. The mission of the Freedom Center was to promote the skills, and teach the skills that will preserve freedom in the United States of America. Now, ironic that we've trained people from 17 different countries at this point, not just Americans. And we've trained people from 48 different states in the United States, including Hawaii. And it's a remarkable thing to just pick a higher ideal and focus on it. The people that benefit, the lessons learned, the experiences gained, the knowledge shared between people traveling from all over the world, it's been the biggest blessing to me in my entire life. And just to be there and to witness these people coming in, working hard, and completely changing their lives. I wish I had brought into the office today a letter that was sent to me just 2 days ago. And it was a student from 2020. And to summarize his letter, he basically said, thank you for forming the Freedom Center. When I first showed up, you said, you being here and working hard will change your life forever. You will be a different person. I am writing to you today to tell you I am a different person. It changed me forever and for the better. And he went on several paragraphs to explain the long-term ramifications on him and his family and the people that he associates with. And it brought a tear to my eye to read that letter. I mean, it was just really well-written and very logical and very expressive and very revealing about how when you invest in yourself, you change your life for the better. I mean, it's absolutely remarkable. And my beautiful wife just threw that letter on my desk.
There it is. Okay. Perfect.
Okay. So I won't read the whole thing, but I'll give you a quick summary. And it's probably the 50th letter I've received over the last 8 years training people at the Freedom Center. And so we don't just think that we've affected people's lives in a positive way. They give us feedback and they tell us how it affects their lives. I remember a father calling me one day and he said, you have changed my family dynamic. And I said, really, Torsten, how so? And he said, well, my son was really frustrated and he was out in the front yard throwing a fit. And I said to him, stop emoting, young man. That doesn't solve the problem. And of course, when you have a loaded firearm in your hand, you don't want a bunch of people emoting. So this was a principle that he picked up from the Freedom Center instructors. And he said, I am now raising my kids this way. And in a matter of months, they have become problem solvers instead of whiny children. It has had a profound effect on our family. And of course, when I'm telling someone, don't emote, when you have a gun that's jammed in your hand, just fix it. Don't emote. Think your way through it. Solve the problem. Get back in the fight. Of course, we're taking someone out of the past. Their gun's jammed. That happened a few seconds ago. It's the recent past, but it's still the past. The only way you survive these situations is to live in the present, focus on the task at hand, get your gun back in the fight, and choose to live. And so these principles that make great gunfighters and make great warriors also make great human beings and great fathers and great mothers. These are not small things to understand. And to be honest, I didn't come up with these things. I had great teachers. And I have to give the credit to my great teachers, Carlos Hathcock, Neil Terry, my father, Sergeant Major Mark Andrews, Jr., my grandfather, Mark Andrews Sr. These were great men. These were entrepreneurs. These were warriors. These were people that fought and people that knew what it meant to serve and to do something outside yourself. And they lived lives that were outwardly focused, not inwardly focused on themselves. And they lived in the present. What a brilliant opportunity for a child like me to witness these great men solve problems every day. I remember my uncle wanting to build a bigger home. He had a young baby. He had another one on the way. And he worked for my grandfather's company, which my dad recently had taken over. And he was short on cash and he needed a bigger house. He didn't have enough bedrooms, didn't have enough space. And my dad was looking at recouping some of the debt, some of the leverage that the company my grandfather had left him was under. And they got a request from Kodak. Remember the old filmmakers that made the 35 millimeter film?
Oh, yeah.
In the old cameras?
Rochester, New York, yeah.
Yep. They got a request from Kodak to build a machine that would sequentially number a label. Now, everyone goes, well, that's stupid easy. You know, you just program into your computer what you want. Well, back in 1966, we didn't have any computers. There were no sequential numbering machines. And my uncle and my father built a tiny little multiple units geared sequential numbering machines that would print on labels at 500 feet a minute. And they designed that from scratch. And then they built the press in my basement. And to make money to pay off the debt at Mark Andy and to make money to help my uncle build his new house. At the age of 7, I watched these two men build a machine that had never been built before in my basement. And I helped. And I was trained in mechanical things. And that very year, as we built that printing press, began to operate it. And I, at the age of 7 and a half, I'm running a label press as the control operator. Okay. Now, you know, you say, well, that's just a weird story. And it's a little bit odd for a seven. That's not child labor. I was loving every minute of it. I was having a lot of fun learning. But these were the great men that just solve problems. And there are a lot of great men like that in this country. It's not just my uncle and my grandfather and my dad. There are millions of great men in this country that solve problems every day. They don't emote, they just fix it. And how important is it to know to live in the present and focus on the problem until you have a solution? It matters to a gunfighter. It matters to someone defending something they love. It's going to matter to those guys in Iran getting ready to go in, surrounding Iran. It's going to matter a lot that they focus on the task at hand and don't live in the past, not even for a second. Lives will hang in the balance.
But we have to learn from the past. I mean, you're not saying totally disregard the past. You're saying obviously live in the moment, which I 100% agree. But those battle plans in part are a byproduct or a product of past successes and past failures. Is that not true?
No, you're absolutely correct. But, you know, that's why we send flag officers to war college.
True.
To study the past. The operators, the enlisted men that are taking the real risks, okay? The CAG guys that are going in to bag some evil Shiites, those guys got to live in the present to come home, okay? There's no, in the moment, in the operation, there's no time to live in the past. All the training's been done. The preparation's been done. The hard work has been done. It's time to live in the present, solve the problems as they come up, because no plan lasts much longer than the first shot fired.
Oh, amen.
And then it's time to flex. It's time to adapt. It's time to solve problems. It's time to adjust. And you got to keep making adjustments at a flow rate that is hard for the average person to comprehend. But that's how you survive those situations. I've been in those situations. I know exactly how it works. You don't have time. Your buddy gets shot. You got to get him out of there, solve the problem, stop the bleeding, move him to a safe place. You know, it's just a constant flow of problem solving, and you can't let up and you can't emote. There's time for that later, but not in the middle of the operation. You got to get it done. And there are a lot of guys that know how to do that. And we've got some of the best in the world, no doubt.
Well, we do. Now, you brought up the topic of Iran. There's been so much talk that we're going in. That's at any time now we're going in.
We are.
In fact, I thought this weekend we'd be going in. We didn't, but I thought we were. I want to share with you a comment I read on our Rumble channel from your last appearance about Iran. I disagree wholeheartedly, but with the comment. Let me just say that. But the comment said something to the effect of, I don't know if I can pull it up here, that, oh, great, Sam Andrews, another Zionist shill, or a shill for Israel / Zionism, or something to that effect. You get the idea. I don't have to, I guess, find it. But
right, that's a label that someone wants to put on me because, you know, my feelings towards Iran are based on their actions. You know, I let people decide how I'm going to treat them. Okay. If you treat me well, I treat you well. If you're aggressive with me, I'm aggressive with you. I let you decide how I'm going to treat you. Okay. And my actions, my attitudes towards Iran are solely based in the actions of the Iranian leaders, because I have been waiting since 1977 for God to fix the evil that exists in the leadership of Iran. Okay. I've been waiting that long. Okay. I'm a patient guy.
I guess. Just to be clear, and let me just be very, very clear, very precise with this, because Kenny Buzz, this is your comment. Your comment you wrote, and I quote exactly, "Sam is the typical Zionist rhino." S-M-F-H. And you know what that stands for.
Yeah, I'm okay, way too conservative to be a rhino or a Zionist.
Okay.
Right. Just so he knows.
Or here's the thing. I don't know. But go on.
Yeah, let me answer that accusation.
All right.
That punk-ass fool has no idea why I feel the way I do. I am not a fan of Israel. I am not a fan of doing Israel's bidding. You know who I'm a fan of? The Christians that have been murdered in Iran. The Christians that have been murdered in Iran by this evil satanic cult of sociopaths running Iran. Okay, I'm a fan of the 30,000 people that were murdered by that regime in the last 60 days. I'm a fan of the murder victims. You don't need Kenny Buzz, you mouthy little twit. You don't need ever to prognosticate about why I feel the way I do, because you know what? I'll tell you to your face. Okay? And you don't need to triangulate Israel into a situation where a satanic cult is murdering God's children and try and throw Israel in the mix. Tell me what Israel has to do with God. Tell me what their leadership has to do with God. Please help me. I am not a fan of Israel. Neither was Charlie Kirk. Neither is any Christian that's paying attention to how Israel operates these days. So why don't you just open your mouth and stick your foot all the way down to your stomach? Because it's halfway there already. And that's kind of where I sit with people like that.
Would you mind really expressing your honest viewpoint? Don't hold back. No, I get that.
I won't.
Look, I understand that. And my response to him, again, this is for transparency. You know, with all due respect, I wrote, you're missing something. I consider myself evolved in my thoughts about this topic. This is me talking now. I know Sam well enough that he's not that guy, meaning this typical rhino, Zionist rhino. You know, I know that.
There's somebody that knows me well. They think I'm a rhino. That's hilarious.
So, and I wrote, and I'll just finish this, neither am I. In this case only, we have a legitimate threat against us here. And, of course, implied in that response, and I guess I probably should have written it out, but implied in that response is, yeah, you've got the mass murder of Christians in Iran, but men, women, and children, I should add. But I didn't feel the need to spell that out. But, okay.
Do their lives not matter to Kenny Buzz?
Exactly.
Well, what did Christ say at the end of Matthew? He said, make disciples of men of all nations. All nations. You know what? There were a few disciples in Iran that got murdered. I care about that. I don't care about Israel.
And one more thing. I care about that as well, but one more thing. The one thing, Sam, that I don't know if I have ever shared this with you, but we did some work for the intelligence community in between, well, post 9/11 through 08 into 09, and then again after that. And I'm going to just be very vague about that. And we had turned over information that there were Iranian assets here on American soil. That were equipped with weaponry, and some weaponry that could bring aircraft down, and had expressed, and believe me, I remember seeing these because at that time my wife was flying to visit her sister. Anyway, expressed this intent to bring down commercial aircraft, among other things. But the prepositioning of military aged men in this country, it's a real thing today. From Iran, from that holding that ideology, and yes, we the great Satan, they want to take us out. That's all I'm going to say about that. Continue, sir.
Well, look at all the Iranian truck drivers that are out there now. Just visit a truck stop. I was at a truck stop today. I picked up the motorhome I take to the racetrack. Had some repairs done, some body work done. A piece of steel came off a flatbed trailer and trashed the panel on the right side. Broke the mounts, and I had that repaired by a fiberglass guy at Camping World. And after I picked it up today, I drove into the truck stop to go through the truck wash and have my motorhome sprayed down. And there were, I want to say, 7 out of 70 trucks, 7-8 of them had Iranian drivers. You know, and probably 20 Muslim drivers driving those semis.
Do you know if they were conversant in English? I mean, I know that's kind of an odd question, but were they conversant in English?
Well, they were.
Go ahead.
They were in. They were actually in the truck stop near the bathroom as a group, and they were speaking in Farsi.
Okay. Right, which he would recognize that language for reasons I'm not going to get into, but obviously, let's just say he's a world traveler. Okay, go ahead, continue.
Yeah, I mean we've got some real problems in this country: an above ground power grid, open borders for God knows how many decades now. There are tremendous threats that exist right here inside the 48 states, and that's part of the reason we started the Freedom Center. So the Americans had better gunfighting skills than the people that were here to hurt us. And we've spent a lot of time. We've trained thousands of people. And those people have trained, the people we've trained have trained thousands of people. But we've trained a lot of instructors, not just civilians, both military and non-military instructors. You know, I've always told people that the NRA stands for not really Americans, because a lot of people don't realize the NRA has had been controlled by the FBI for a very long time. And people say, oh, that's not true. It's controlled by a civilian board. People like Mr. Potterfield at Midway USA. Not true. Let me ask you a question. If the NRA has two divisions, the civilian side and the law enforcement training division, and the law enforcement training division brings in 83% of the NRA's income, who do you think's calling the shots? Could it be the three former retired FBI agents at the top of the pyramid in the NRA law enforcement training division? Could it be those guys? Or do you think the people that bring in 17% of the money are calling the shots? Do you really believe that?
Exactly.
If you do, You should probably move to Iran, because they're going to have a giant beach party there in a couple of days.
And make sure you bring your rainbow flag and dress up as a female or the opposite sex. It's, again, going back to my opening statement/sentiment, the divide is so real, Sam, right now, really on all levels. We're trying to convince drunk guy in a bar that he shouldn't drive. We're trying to talk logically to a guy that's drunk on his ass in a bar.
It's impossible.
It's you're not going to do it. And folks in the chat and elsewhere, have you ever tried to reason with anyone that's high on drugs or drunk on their butts or even so dug in mentally?
Not possible. Yeah.
It's just ain't happening. So yeah,
well, let's talk about discernment for a minute. What's the easiest way to tell a manipulator from someone who's speaking honestly?
A manipulator.
Very, very simple.
Okay, wait. this, folks, please listen to what Sam's got to say. Not that he needs me to hammer this home, but remember those shows I did too about behavior modification, how you can analyze behavior, but there are also people who modify your behavior without you even knowing, or sometimes with your consent, mostly without your consent, but your behavior is being modified. So Sam, thank you for bringing this up. It's so important. This is not talked about half as much as it should be.
It should be. Yeah.
Please continue.
To recognize the communication patterns of a manipulator or sociopath. Let's bring Kenny's buzz too much into the subject again.
Right? Okay.
An honest person will tell you how they feel, and they'll tell you why they feel the way they do.
True. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. A manipulator, a sociopath, a psychopath will tell you how you feel, and they'll tell you why you feel the way you do. For instance, when I chose a position that the people that murdered those in Iran should be dealt with, the manipulator and the sociopath says, well, you're just a shill. You're just a rhino. You're just a mouthpiece for Israel. See, they're trying to tell me why I feel the way I do. They have no way of knowing. There's no honest way they could know. Okay, but back to what's green and what's a red flag.
Go ahead.
Green is, I'm going to tell you what I think, and I'm going to tell you why I think that, and I'm going to do it directly and honestly. And then I'm going to ask you, what do you think? And why do you think that way? Please teach me. Explain to me what your thought process is. This is what intellectual, honest intellectual people do. What dishonest people do is twist what you say and then lie about why you said it when they have no way of knowing why you have the opinion you do. And that's what you see on the internet and all these manipulative, sociopathic, psycho comments from people that are just blowing stuff out the rear end, and they have no idea why someone actually said what they said. They haven't lived your life experience. They don't, like, for instance, they may not know that I grew up playing baseball with a couple of Iranian kids. I became very close to an Iranian Christian family. That one of my best friends today lives in California, and he grew up in Iran, and his father was the minister of oil under Iran, under the Shah. And I've gotten a lot of information from him on what actually happened when the Shah was deposed and how these thieving thugs came and stole oil, stole cars, stole land, stole mansions, and basically robbed the country and took over with violence. So maybe I have a different perspective on Iran that has not a doggone thing to do with Israel.
Obviously, there is a threat to Israel, obviously. But is that your point, is that driving your feelings? Is that driving mine? Is that driving?
No.
Exactly, no.
It's not driving the military action either. If you want to know who's driving the military action, look at Saudi Arabia. Iran is the biggest threat to Saudi Arabia. The Sunni Muslims don't like the crazy Shiites. They want them dead. Just like I do. Okay, so if you want to know who's got money and who's got political power and who's driving a policy kind of pushing the U.S. Navy to go take care of Iran and some of the other assets we have, let me tell you, Saudi Arabia's a player on that ball field.
100%.
They are the two biggest players in the Middle East, the two biggest opposing forces are Iran versus Saudi Arabia. This has nothing to do with Israel in large part. It's about stability. It's about our allies like Saudi Arabia wanting our help and dealing with a lifelong threat to their people. And, you know, there's enough money changing hands. And, you know, the Muslims in Saudi Arabia, oh, you must respect our Muslim brothers. You cannot attack. And behind closed doors, they're going, kill those bastards, will you? They've been a thorn in our side for centuries. That's exactly what's going on. And there are other Muslim countries that feel the same way Saudi Arabia. And so anyone who plays the Israel card is not only naive, they're narrow-minded, and they're not capable of seeing what actually is going on. And so they have a different purpose when they make comments like they make in some of your chats.
Hopefully. Well, and the other thing too, Sam, is while it certainly would benefit Israel to regime change in Iran would benefit Israel, obviously, that is not anywhere near, in my view, what I see is the driver of action here. Now, is it a would it be a consequence? Certainly. However, I don't need to toss out, allegorical examples or whatever. You get the idea, folks. And again, Sam is no apologist for Israel, believe me. And I'll just leave it right there. So when you have this wholesale slaughter of Christians in Iran, and I have to say this too, though, Sam, you've got this happening in other countries as well. What's the difference between this slaughter of Christians in Iran versus Nigeria, for example?
Iran has more oil, more money, and more weapons, and they're more dangerous to the other people in the area. And they're allied with China and Russia. That's why we have Russian and Chinese naval vessels helping Iran disturb the Straits of Hormuz, which will upset the world oil market. You're going to see oil and gas prices go up for the next 2 to 4 weeks. And it's because of the way that Iran, China, and Russia are interacting, trying to destabilize the world oil markets.
And it's just so it's not lost on everyone, and again, I think this is important to toss into the conversation. The reason that we find ourselves in this position in terms of the gas prices going up, the refined product, the oil product, is a direct result of our foreign policy under Carter. Well, you can go back further, but under Nixon, under Carter, under pretty much every president sense, right? I mean, look, I think it's important really to go deep on this as opposed to just hitting this and running and saying, you know what? I mean, bringing the facts to the table is important to me in looking at this with with clarity and with all the cards on the table. That's just important to me. So go ahead and continue, sir.
So let's talk about turmoil for just a second. Okay. Turmoil is something you talked about. You mentioned the Ferguson effect.
Yes.
But turmoil is something that if you're wise, you can take advantage of. As a tactical operator, as a protester, as a police officer, you can take advantage of turmoil and chaos.
Right.
As an American investor. So what's going to happen here in the next couple of weeks? Well, I'm going to lay it out for you. We're going to go into Iran and deal with some stuff. It's going to be ugly. It's going to last 2 to 4 weeks. We're going to have boots on the ground there. You may not know about it, but they'll be there. We're going to be grabbing people that need to be grabbed, murderous thugs. And we might Maduro them. We might do what's called a bag and boogie mission or snatch and grab. Or we might just kill them on site. I hope we do the latter.
I do as well for a lot of reasons. But
for a lot of reasons, yeah.
Yeah.
No. But I would really like to see 3 or 4 of those people, Khomeini included, brought to The Hague and tried for crimes against humanity for the mass murder of his own people. That would please me a lot, particularly
Do you feel that there is legitimacy, Sam, with respect to The Hague anymore, given the environment of today, given the globalist nature of the countries, of the people, the so-called jurists at The Hague? Is there still legitimacy there?
No, I'm not defending The Hague.
Okay.
But what I like about The Hague is the exposure.
Can't argue with that. Okay.
Okay. The exposure I like. I'm okay with that. And I think Trump can put enough pressure on some idiots up there to get the job done. You don't just murder 30,000 of God's children and get away with it. And I know
and counting 30,000
is mine, saith the Lord. I get all that. Okay. But I'm not talking about vengeance. I'm talking about putting a permanent stop to evil. God didn't say confronting evil is mine. Don't you do that. He didn't say that. That's the reason Christ made a scourge, went into the temple, turned some tables over and whipped some tail with that scourge. Because we have a moral obligation to confront evil. And sure, vengeance may be the Lord's, according to him. I'll grant you that. But confronting evil is not just his job. Don't call yourself a Christian man if you don't have the spine to confront evil, because Christ did. Don't call yourself a disciple of Christ if you don't remain in his words. Visit John chapter 8. You'll understand. Okay? We have a moral obligation to confront evil. Absolute moral obligation. Any excuse not to? And, you know, here's what my grandfather taught me when I was young. He said, you know, some words are backwards, young man. I said, what do you mean, Grandpa? He said, well, take, for example, the word responsibility. I said, okay, I don't understand where you're going with this. And he said, well, responsibility is one of those backwards words. I said, what does that mean? He said, to really understand it, you got to flip it the other way around. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, response and ability make up the word responsibility. But if you really want to understand it, put ability first. If you have the ability to respond, then you have the responsibility to act. And you know, right now, when you're murdering people by the tens of thousands, we have very clearly the ability to respond. Therefore, we have the moral responsibility to act. And so don't give me this Israel garbage about going into Iran. I don't want to hear it. That's so naive. Not to mention, right after Operation Hammer, we got a whole bunch of intelligence and documents that we collected. Thank you, Israel. No pun intended. But that showed that that Iran had a written plan to attack the United States with nuclear weapons.
Oh, yeah. Midnight Hammer. Folks, look that up. Operation Midnight Hammer. The U.S. military operation conducted last June, targeting the key nuclear facilities in Iran. Look, just do the research. Operation Midnight Hammer and the byproduct of that. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I like the Roosevelt question. Teddy Roosevelt was a cool dude. He did a lot of things right. He understood a lot. As presidents go, he was wiser than most. And Teddy Roosevelt said very clearly, if you're standing next to a rattlesnake coiled to strike, must you wait until the snake bites you before you recognize it as a threat?
Yeah.
I mean, I say, if someone says, death to America, you're the great Satan, we're going to kill all of you, and then they say, we need to build nuclear weapons and we need to hit these cities in America with our nuclear weapons. And then they start building nuclear weapons. Might be time to recognize the rattlesnake in the room. Just saying, might be time. How long are you going to wait? How many millions have to die before you pull your head out of the dark place you haven't watched? There are fake threats out there. There are imagined threats. There are the government creating false flag threats. Iran is not one of them. Iran is a legitimate threat, and they have been for a very long time. And I am so glad we're about to go deal with them. I don't celebrate the death of human beings. It's just a rule of mine. You take the trash out, you don't jump up, pat yourself on the back, yell and scream, and go, I took the trash out. Okay? But there's some trash in Iran that's needed to be taken out for the better part of 50 years. And I just might, for the first time in my life, celebrate that. I have friends over there. I have friends that had to move here because it was so bad over there.
Yep.
And I have a lot of details on the horrific crimes, the rapes, the murders, the thefts. And it's in the billions, trillions of dollars. This regime has stolen from people. The murders, the people falsely imprisoned and kidnapped and tortured, it's in the hundreds of thousands. So give me any crap about Israel. Iran's a problem all by itself, and they have been for a very, very long time.
At what cost, Sam, when you, and we may have discussed this, but I don't know if we did it justice. When we put an end to that regime, what will be the response here in the U.S. by friends and infiltrated enemies alike? In your, just kind of looking forward and kind of going over the possibilities. And what about the American people? Go ahead.
It's going to be highly polarized, like everything. You know, we have these psychotic people that can't reason. Their hormones are in balance. They're incredibly unhealthy. Their metabolism and biological chemistry, their cellular processes are damaged and destroyed. And they literally can't function as a normal human being.
Right.
So what do you expect from these people? More crazy is what I expect from them. And then there'll be a bunch of naive people that will just choose an opinion based on what tribe they're associated with. They won't actually look at the reality of the details. They won't do any research on it. They won't try to understand the history and the reasons why. And they'll just choose the tribal answer, you know, go blue, right? Go red, whatever tribe they're part of. That's what naive, stupid people do. Okay. And then there will be those that will say, we're going to have to wait and see. We're going to have to see what some of the long-term effects of these actions are. Because even though oftentimes we can anticipate the short-term effects of our actions, there's oftentimes long-term effects that we don't see for 5 to 10 to 50 years later. And so anyone that tells you they know everything about how this is going to play out, they're lying. They don't. I don't know. Most of the top strategic people I know don't know. We're all waiting to see, honestly, if Space Force can turn off all the new crap China and Russia have flown in there in the last 6 weeks. That's what we want to see. Because if we can, Russia and China are going to turn tail and stay out of the U.S.'s way. Just tell you that's going to happen. Now, if there's a bloodbath and we lose people and they lose people, and it's this tit-for-tat thing that drags on longer than 2 or 3, 4 weeks, then there's going to be a whole different view on that from people that have a short-term view. But, you know, like we talked about a week or two ago, a lot of people don't understand the strategic significance of fighting the Vietnam War. A lot of people believe our men went over there and died for nothing. And that's not true. That's not true. They sucked Chinese and Soviet resources into a black hole and put us and our children and grandchildren in a hugely advantageous position to prosper and to be stronger and to not be as vulnerable to those two communist regimes. So anyone who tells you our Vietnam veterans died for nothing doesn't really understand the long-term strategic implications of drawing those resources into a black hole like we did for so many years. And I think it's the same exact reason Trump hasn't solved the Ukraine-Russia thing. I think there are strategic people at the White House that very specifically want Ukraine to be Russia's Vietnam and drag them into another black hole and suck their resources dry. If we if Ukraine wasn't doing that, Russia would be posturing up much stronger in the Straits of Hormuz and in and around Iran, I'll tell you that. So trying to fight battles on multiple fronts drains resources. It weakens your position on both fronts. And so trying to see the big picture and really understand the long-term ramifications is more complicated than just waving your tribal flag and spitting out the mantra of your tribe.
It's interesting you use the word tribe. Many people will object to the use of that specific term, but in all of the psychological operations that anyone who's been involved in psychology, anyone who's been involved in behavioral analysis training, or has a psychology background, educated background, you understand what he's talking about. And that tribe, that word tribe is all, it figures into PSYOPs, the psychological operations, as mentioned again before. I mean, you're hitting this with the, I think, the proper and necessary emphasis. in all the right spots. And because very few are having this kind of conversation about this issue. Go ahead.
Well, I think the opportunities abound for the U.S. here. And I think it's going to depend on if our technology is as good as I think it is. I think it's better than what our opponents know it is. And I think they're in for some surprises. I truly believe China shipped a bunch of anti-air assets that are supposed to be able to handle our stealth assets for the very purpose to see if their weapons are effective against our stealth aircraft, because they don't really know. They've prognosticated about it. They pontificated about it, but they don't really know. And, you know, everybody thought the MiG was a giant threat when Desert Storm kicked off. Well, you fast forward 3 years, and everybody in St. Louis, Missouri, where I used to live, is wearing MAC against Iraq t-shirts, 51-0. Literally, big numbers, 51-0. Why? Because our F-15s and F-18s killed 51 MiGs, and we didn't lose a single aircraft. And McDonnell Douglas, the designer of the F-15 and the designer of the F-18, and Boeing bought them. But back in the day, we were all wearing t-shirts that said MAC against Iraq. And we kicked their butts in aerial battles. We didn't lose a single airship, not a single fighter jet. They lost 51 MiGs. So, you know, I remember Viktor Belenko. This is a guy I guarded. This is the chief test pilot of the Foxbat program back in the day. And we snuck him over on a commercial aircraft, and we hit him in Vegas, and then we moved him to Montana, and then back to Vegas, and we brought him out to the Midwest, hit him on a farm out in the Midwest, right? And they had 12 KGB agents full-time trying to kill him. And we had 21 guys trying to keep him alive, okay? And we let him fly all our aircraft, and we thought the Foxbat was a huge problem strategically for us because it was so fast. It was such a good air-to-air weapon. Well, when Viktor came over, he told us the truth. He's like, no, the range is only this. The range was like 60% of what we thought it was, right? And, I mean, there were a whole bunch of things that he taught us about their aircraft. And he was a great pilot. That Soviet pilot, Viktor Belenko, was something else in an airplane. He was a natural freak. That guy could pull 10 Gs and stay conscious. When we took away missiles and just pitted him against our best fighter pilots, air-to-air, just guns, he beat every one of our guys.
Wow.
He had like a 200 IQ, the best chess player I ever played. I mean, the guy was brilliant. Absolutely genius. And he was a great pilot, probably one of the top two or three in history. And very few people know those things about him, but I could spend a lot of time with him. And sometimes we would play chess at night when I had inside duty, and he'd pull out a chessboard, put a bottle of vodka on the table. And every time he took one of my pieces, I had to drink a shot of vodka. Every time I took one of his, he had to take a shot of vodka. And we played chess like that all the time.
And that must have been some sloppy games by the end, right?
Well, not exactly, because I digest stuff really slowly. And so I don't get drunk from drinking alcohol very quickly. And that Russian could hold more alcohol than 10 cattle. It was something else. Absolutely, okay. Absolutely crazy. The amount of alcohol that guy could drink and function like he hadn't had a single drink. And he was a brilliant chess player. I never beat him.
Oh.
Yeah, he was really, really good. And we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of personal conversations during those chess games. Talked about real important things. God, country, family. You know, what the things that really matter to men. And it was a neat time for me. Because I got to learn from someone that was so different than I was. And I found that fascinating. To see through his eyes, because he was a great storyteller. He could give you his perspective in many colors and really explain why he felt the way he did based on his experience and background. He was a gifted communicator. He was just intelligent. But Victor was a neat guy. And it's sad because we wouldn't let him take his pilot's license test in Russian. The FAA refused to do that. So once the military stopped putting him in aircraft, he got depressed and started drinking a lot. And things kind of went downhill for him, you know. So it was just a really neat period of my life to be around somebody that wasn't American, that had totally different perspectives about everything. And I remember asking him the question, do you think now that the wall has come down and the Soviet Union is broken up, do you think the Russian people will embrace democratic ideals, Republican ideals, you know, this type of thing? And he said, no. That was his answer.
Nyet.
Yeah. And I said, tell me why. He said, I can best explain why with a simple story. There was a small Russian village. The two wealthiest men in the village were both sheep farmers. And one day, one of the sheep farmers, all of his sheep died of some strange disease. Okay. I said, where are you going with this, Victor? And he said, well, this man would pray every day to God. He would say, God, will you please help me? Will you please help me? And for 2 years, God does not answer him. This is what Victor says. He said, but after 2 years, God comes to this man and he says, I have decided to help you. And the man screams out with excitement, really? You'll kill all the other guy's sheep? He said, this is Russian mindset. So no, I don't think they'll embrace democracy. Americans, when someone does better, they want to leapfrog them. Russians, when someone does better, they want to pull them back and kill them. So no, I don't think it'll ever happen. That was his answer.
Fascinating to me. Fascinating indeed. And isn't that an example of, in part, an example of the political divide that we're seeing today? I mean, that's a very colorful story, by the way, but I think it applies here in this country in many respects. Continue. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with that, Doug. I think that when you're mentally ill, basically a liberal, I refer to them as libtards. Of course, my special education administration wife says we don't call people retards.
Yeah, we do. I said, when they're retards, they're retards.
I said, I'm older than you. I use that term all the time. And she just slaps me and says, it's not right. Don't do it. But she grew up.
Bring her in here. Put her on camera. We'll score.
Yeah, that'll get me in trouble. That's kind of funny, though, but you know, when someone is mentally compromised, let's just be scientific about it. The brain's not functioning 100%.
But before you get deep into that, I have a real problem here, and I'm gonna end my part of this dialogue with this. When you have in the House of Representatives a guy by the name of Tim McRide dressed up as a woman, identifying as a transsexual, of course, taking hormones, you know, the whole shebang with hormones and all that, and appearing as a woman at the State of the Union, okay, no less, telling whoever listens, including the American people, that Donald Trump or the MAGA, or not even the MAGA, the agenda of America First, the most basic of all concepts, that we have a mental issue, that we are crazy, that we are not mentally stable. What in the hell can you say to that? Again, think of that. A guy.
Stop lying.
Well, I mean.
That's what I say. Stop lying.
Lying. It's delusion. It's mental illness. It's delusion. It's believing your own lies, other people's lies. I mean, how in the flipping world can you have a tranny? And I'm not talking about, you know, from a Chevelle. How can you have a tranny in the well of Congress lecturing others on what's crazy and what's not? Holy shit.
Well, that's the delusion. I think you hit it on the head, is that when people work for Satan, okay, they can't speak truth. They cannot see truth. I mean, what does scripture say? God will blind the minds of the unbelieving to the truth. They're incapable of seeing it, and they're lying. How do we know they work for Satan? Because what comes out of their mouth isn't true. And if someone constantly lies, we know who your father is, and it's not God. Okay? I answer to my father on earth. I answer to my father in heaven. I don't answer to Satan. Okay? And so I have a responsibility to speak the truth. And this person is so delusional and so dishonest and such a liar that they'll tell the world, I can change my genitalia, I can change my hormone levels, and I can convert myself from an XY to an XX. Yet in reality, no matter how much they change their external appearance, the appearance of flesh on the external parts of their body, their genetic code never changes. There's never been a successful conversion of an XY to an actual XX genomically. Not going to happen. And if you're an XX, you will never be converted to an XY. You can externally look like that if you jack your hormones far enough one direction or the other, but you don't function like that. That's a complete total lie. And your genetic code does not change. So all of this delusional, psychotic stuff is based in lies. Health and longevity and prosperity is based in truth. It's that simple. It doesn't get any simpler than that. And that's why we've got to start caring about the truth as Americans. When you care about the truth, you know how to deal with the trans problem. When you care about the truth, you know how to deal with people that steal billions from the taxpayers. When you care about the truth, you know the criminals belong in jail, not the people protesting fraudulent elections. It's not complicated. But it all boils down to caring about the truth first. The truth has got to be more important than your feelings, and it's got to be more important than your tribal wishes.
And it has to be more important than your attempt to gain wealth, because you've got different drivers of action. I do believe that wealth, wealth acquisition or following the money, that drives some. Not everyone, that drives some. And to some, it's the primary motivator. Others, it's second to the ideological driver. So, but nonetheless, okay. Yes, I agree 100% with what you said. Go on. Continue.
Okay, well, someone might ask, all right, Sam, well, how do you fix it? Okay. Well, God gave people free will. And so if they choose Satan and they choose lies, there's not much you can do. You know,
God, you can snuff them out.
God will.
Sorry.
You could throw them in jail. God will do two things.
We're under the jail. Go on.
Yeah, I promise you, God will do two things. He will blind the minds of the unbelieving to the truth. They won't be able to see it. It's not because you didn't explain it good enough to them. God's taking care of that through his natural laws. Okay, so that's the first thing that's going to happen. Okay, the second thing that's going to happen is you will see physical consequences manifested on the external of their body. Look at these people at protests. Do they look healthy to you? Do they look physically healthy? Can you pick a lady out of the crowd at an ICE protest and go, well, that gal could run a triathlon?
Hell, you can't even pick their sex. Half of them, the SNL, that Pat from SNL. It's a freak show. These are freak shows at these ICE, anti-ICE protests. And even now, I have to say, infiltrated in all levels of our government are freaks. School boards. I mean, every place you look. You can't swing No, it's just they're everywhere. Go on.
Let me just say this, that mistakes that we make, the choices that we make, manifest themselves externally on our bodies.
Yes.
If you choose to eat sugar and carbs every day, okay, you may have arms that look normal, but you're going to have visceral fat and look like you have a beer belly if you're a man.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I should show you pictures from an in-studio visit I did in 2006. Holy, I didn't recognize. I'm thinking, who is that? Oh, man, I was a fat. So I was a fat guy. I mean, I had a lot of fat, in case you were wondering, but yeah, it's crazy. And
I had a period of time when I was heavy. I was 265, somewhere in that range. I'm 6'4", so I wasn't giant obese, but I wasn't in good shape. I was carrying a lot of body fat, a lot of visceral fat, and I was miserable.
Yeah.
And see, we are lied to by our doctors in America. We are told that there is a genetic component to diabetes. We are told type 2 diabetes. We are told that there's a genetic component to this disease and that disease. And occasionally, there's a gene that if it's messed up or if a switch is flipped one direction or the other, you may have a slight tendency to be more vulnerable to a disease. But I'm here to tell you, that is not what doctors in other countries tell people. Doctors in other countries like Germany and Russia and Japan, they tell people the truth. They tell them that your decisions that you make either lay fertile soil for cancer and disease, or they maintain good metabolic health, and you're resistant to cancer and disease. And it's based on your choices. It's not genetics. And so it's a fascinating thing to get into the biology and understand that when you see these protesters with these inflamed necks and inflamed faces, that chronic inflammation in their body is also in their brain. You've got tau tangles, protein damage, B amyloid plaques on neurons. You've got all of these things, IL-6, all these cytokines. They're just a storm in the head. Okay? When you damage the body, you can't damage the body and not damage the brain. The inflammation spreads quickly. And when you have chronic inflammation, you have these storms of cytokines. They spread all over the body, and your brain pays the price too. Now, why don't people believe that when you first tell them that? And I'll give you the reason why. Because the brain is so powerful and so elastic and adapts so quickly that you don't notice the damage until 20 years later, when full-blown Alzheimer's or full-blown dementia or Parkinson's, some other issue combined with some autoimmune things are going on, you don't even notice the damage to the brain. And we talked about this last week. I'm talking to peptide clients, and I'm asking them, so do you have any memory fog issues? These are people over the age of 45, and they all do. I said, do you have any memory, any brain fog issues? And they're all like, I really don't think so. It's just painstaking to listen to that. And then I rephrase the question. All right, let me ask this same question a little different way. Are you telling me that your memory is just as sharp and your brain is just as quick as it was when you were 22 years old? Is that what you're telling me? And then everybody says, well, no, it's not. But see, the degradation happens slowly, and the brain's very elastic, so the effects don't show up until the damage is enormous. But when you're damaging the body, you're damaging the brain. Laws of physics. I don't make the laws of physics. I just live here. I'm just giving you the truth. And honestly,
and just to be clear, though, you know what you're about to talk about, obviously, is a specific peptide therapy, but more of a holistic reasons for that. But I'll just say this at the outset. You know, we have wholesale poisoning of our food supply. We have wholesale poisoning of the skies above us. We have, I mean, we are being poisoned in ways.
Pharmaceutical poisoning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Holy cow.
And I'll just say this, okay? I don't believe, while I believe what you're talking about is a very viable and extremely important solution to the problems at hand, in no way, shape, or form do I believe in any, at this moment, and I don't think you're going to convince me otherwise, that this is a blanket answer, okay? Because you've got people who have been, look, all you have to do is look at the COVID era. These people, many, many, many people are so far gone. Mm-hmm. They ain't never coming back. That train is gone. It's left the station, ain't coming back. So just preparing the listeners and viewers out there, this is not going to solve the nation's ills. However, if you're interested, this is for you. Go ahead.
Well, let's talk about who we can help. So for years, we've been training people at the Freedom Center on the skills that preserve freedom.
Right.
We've been doing long-range sniper training. We've been doing combat training at close-range handguns, AR-15s, M4s, that type of stuff. We've been doing preparatory training. How do you get ready for a system breakdown? And we've been doing medic training, combat medic training. Okay. Now these different four lanes, we're about to add a fifth lane called the healing lane of training at the Freedom Center. We're going to have classes on technology to heal a body. And we're going to talk about how do we use peptides? How do we use supplements? How do we do all these things? Okay. And if I'm going to do this show with you on a regular basis, I'd like to take 3 to 5 minutes and answer a problem, a common mistake. Doug, I've taken, because of your show, the John Moore Show, and three other guys' radio shows that I do on a regular basis, I've taken over 200 medical histories in the last 3 weeks.
I don't Detail. Doubt that. And please, you're not limited to 3 or 5 minutes. This is important for a lot of people.
Oh, it's massively important. Just so you know.
And my dog included, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm by sorry. The one, we need to get your dog some thymosin alpha-1 and some LO37 because it'll work on a mechanism that solves both of those problems without enhancing the other.
It's in the air right now. Just saying. But go ahead.
Okay. So there might be an answer there.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's talk about supplements. And I don't want to offend anybody. I know Americans spend a lot of money on supplements. But I'm going to tell you, as a former professional athlete and as someone who's paid a lot of attention to health over the years and who has tested a lot of different things on myself as a guinea pig, if you're deficient in something in your blood workup, supplements can help that deficiency.
Correct. Okay? Correct.
If you've had, for example, colorectal cancer, we have human studies that show berberine can protect you from that coming back. Okay. Astaxanthin can protect you from cancer. We know that. Human studies, we've proven it. We're not talking about mice. We're talking about God's children here, humans on earth. This stuff works. Okay, it helps. Doesn't always completely solve the problem, but there's so many other tools now that your doctor hasn't told you about. But I want to talk, I think tonight, I want to hit cardiovascular disease. We can hit cancer next week if you want. But let's talk about the tools that can not only protect you from cardiovascular disease, but can reverse cardiovascular disease. Let's take a minute and talk about that because there's some really important things. And when you're taking supplements, it's not just what you take, but it's how you take it and it's when you take it. And I'm going to start with this thing about cardiovascular disease called calcium. If you have cardiovascular disease, there's a super high probability that your body's not handling calcium properly. Anything with a cell structure just about has calcium in it. Any meal that you eat is going to have some calcium. The problem is never not enough calcium. The problem is almost always too much calcium in the blood.
Hold that thought, because I have to do this. The last time you were on, okay, you spoke about this, and man, it resonated with me because I was making. You and I talked about this after the show, I believe. I was making my cardiovascular problems much worse. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in the comments section,
unknowingly.
Exactly. Thinking, wait a second, I'm doing everything right. So Ed Kurtz, God bless you if you're listening. He writes, Doug, are you kidding me? I've been taking D3 and K2 for years and years, and I've got calcium buildup in the arteries and veins in my neck, and now I'm having head problems, and you're not supposed to take D3 with K2. Man, okay. Yes. There you go. Okay.
There's the evidence.
And I wrote back. I said, yeah, I get it. Go ahead. Continue.
Ask me how I know. I know because I had the same problem. I had calcium in the carotid arteries. I had calcified heart valves. I had a calcified heart. I had calcified gallbladder tissue. I had my left lower coronary artery clogged over 40% with a big calcium deposit. Okay. They have a special CAT scan called a calcium CAT scan, and they can look at the blockages in these 4 to 5 main arteries, depending on what the doc wants to look at.
Yes, they can.
You can measure this stuff.
Yep.
It's not complicated anymore. We have the tools. Now, here's the funny thing. Guys that have 400, 500, 600 scores on their calcium CAT scans lower their cholesterol, and their calcium score goes up. It gets worse. Okay, so we've been lied to. Now, I want to tell you the proper way to handle calcium in your body. I think every American needs to know this. Share this information with the people you love. Okay, share this. It's the truth. We've proven it over and over again. We know this works. Cardiovascular disease comes from not handling calcium properly. What are the mechanisms where we can make our body handle calcium properly? Mark 7K2, it's a vitamin. It acts like a truck in the blood. It takes calcium and it loads it in the back of the truck, and it takes it to your bones, your fingernails, and your teeth where it belongs. And if you have the right balance of magnesium and sodium and potassium around the cell where it needs to be, the magnesium will open the door and allow the Mark 7K2 to carry the calcium and put it where it belongs. So it's not in your blood causing clots. Now, that's not the whole story. So many companies sell D3 combined with calcium. Never, ever, ever buy combined vitamins. Ever. Don't do it. I don't care what people say. Don't do it. They don't understand the big picture. And I'll give you an example. The K2 D3 is the perfect example. Okay. You take magnesium or K2 and D3 together. Here's what happens. For you to absorb the D3, you've got to eat it with a meal with fat, and you've got to have vitamin C in addition to that. Okay. If you take your K2 and your magnesium with your D3 with a meal, the meal that you eat blocks the absorption of the magnesium. You cannot take magnesium and calcium at the same time, and all meals have calcium in them. Calcium is integral in the structure of cells. So the way that your body absorbs magnesium is through the same channels that it absorbs calcium. So if you eat a meal, the calcium in the meal blocks any absorption of the magnesium, and now you're forming clots and turning your heart to stone and your valves to stone and your arteries to stone. Well, guess what happens when your arteries start to calcify? They don't expand and contract when they should, and your blood pressure rises. Now, the proper way to take care of your heart from a supplement perspective is to get up in the morning and have Mark 7K2, magnesium L-threonate, and fibrinolytic enzymes sitting there with a glass of water. And you pull your head off the pillow and you sit up and you pick up the glass of water, you pick up your K2, your magnesium L-threonate, and your fibrinolytic enzymes, lumbrokinase, nattokinase, and serapeptase, and you throw them in your mouth, and you drink half a glass of water, and that's how your day starts, on an empty stomach. Now you absorb all the magnesium, all the K2, and the fibrinolytic enzymes that will bond to the other elements other than calcium that clots are formed with. See, clots are made of, they're made of fibrins, and they're made of calcium, and they're made of macrophages. And most people that die of heart attacks or have strokes, they're not giant clots. They're little clots that swell up really quickly with a storm of cytokines and macrophages and then break off and go to somewhere where they can't go any further. And now we've got a heart attack or a stroke. It's not the big clots that kill people. It's the little ones that swell up in a matter of minutes and break off and go float to somewhere where they jam something up. Okay, that's the truth. I think 85% of all cardiovascular events happen like that. So how important is it to get the fibrins out of your blood and get the calcium out of your blood where it belongs? Now, here's the cool thing. Lumbrokinase will actually absorb the calcium that's in your tissues over time. You can decalcify your heart and valves. You can decalcify your arteries using fibrinolytic enzymes, K2 and magnesium properly. How important is that for Americans to know? I think cardiovascular disease is the number one or two killer almost every year of Americans, if you don't count the drug companies and deaths from pharmaceutical drugs. If you count the drug companies, they kill more people than the top 10 other things combined. But if you don't count that.
Okay, let me ask you a question right now. Do you sell or have any financial interest in any supplement company?
No. No. All right. Period. I don't have any association with any companies. What I do do.
All right. Wait. One more thing. You threw out, because I know I'm going to get a lot of requests about this. You threw out a lot of names that sounded a little. Could I understand them? Hell no. Do I know what they are? Hell no. Do I know where to get these? No. So at some point, please, for the audience, the sake of my audience, and your people listening to you right now, let them know exactly what these compounds are, where to get them.
Okay.
Because,
well, let me finish the 60,000 foot view, and
continue.
Then I'll give
go ahead.
Go ahead on how you use this stuff and where to buy it. Okay. So the key to handling calcium and preventing cardiovascular disease is magnesium. There are 10 different types of magnesium available in America for supplements. You only need two types. You need magnesium glycinate to take in the evening right before you go to bed. It will help you sleep, okay? And it will help your cell repair and the things that need to happen while you're asleep. And you need magnesium L-threonate. That's the letter L-T-H-R-E-O-N-A-T-E, magnesium L-threonate. You need to take that in the morning. Okay, why magnesium L-threonate? Why the two types? Well, we take magnesium glycinate because of its high absorption rate and the fact that it calms the body and helps you sleep. Very great absorption, no side effects with gastrointestinal things. You take magnesium L-threonate because it's the only type of magnesium that will transcend the blood-brain barrier. And guess what? Your brain needs magnesium too to be healthy.
Amen.
Got to handle calcium in the brain as well. Unless you just want amyloid plaques and Alzheimer's. I had a guy I was talking to about peptides. I took his medical history, and his wife was like, well, I'm going to use you as the guinea pig. If it works for you, then I'll try it. And he said, what am I going to do with her? And I said, there's only two paths. You either love her and you buy her peptides to protect her brain and protect her from cancer and protect her heart and get her the supplements she needs. Or you don't love her and you buy a big life insurance policy on her. Because if she doesn't want to use peptides, she's going to reach a certain age and you're going to be married to Helen Keller in a wheelchair if she lives. Is that what you want? Is that the lifestyle you want? Do you want to be caring for a spouse that can't see, can't hear, is blind, can't think, has heart problems, and is in a wheelchair all the time? Answer the question, yes or no. Okay, once you've answered the question, then you pick one of the two strategies. Buy the life insurance policy or do the thing to protect your spouse. It's not complicated. Depending on your motivation, either one makes sense. Anything in between doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. So, and I actually had a guy 2 weeks ago tell me, I'm not buying peptides for her. I mean, that was his attitude. I was like, wow, cool. I'm going to have to put a sweatshirt on. It's getting a little chilly in here, right? One of those conversations. So, but the truth is we have the technology to prevent heart disease, combination of peptides and the right supplements. I don't sell supplements, but I'll tell you what you need. Okay. So if I can put my glasses on, we'll just ring the bell and put school in session and we'll go right over what you actually need supplement-wise, what actually works. Let me grab this and get this thing working. Okay, photos. Let's see here.
And while you're doing that, is magnesium L-threonate the same? Folks, if you're paying attention, you'll know why I'm asking this question. The same as magnesium. There's a variation to that last part. L-threonine. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Threonine. So is magnesium L-threonate the same as magnesium or L-threonine?
No, not exactly.
Okay, thank you.
There's a bunch of different kinds. All right, step number one. Here it is.
Vitamin K2, MK7 for the audio listeners, okay?
K2 Mark 7, microingredients.com. There's your source. Okay, let's go to the fibronolytic assay enzymes, serpeptase, lumbrokinase, and nattokinase, made by a company called Etta Vita.
E-T, how do you spell Etavita? Sorry, I can't
Etavita,
see.
Etavita.
Okay.
But the product is called fibrinolytic assay enzymes, serpeptase, lumbrokinase, and nattokinase. These are the things that will decalcify your organs and your arteries. So critical to long-term health for Americans. Okay. Absolutely critical. Now let's go to the two magnesiums that you need. The first one tested very high in quality and purity. Life Extension is the company. Neuromag is the name of the product, but its contents is magnesium L-threonate. There it is. Right there.
So the product, folks, for the audio listeners, the product that he just showed, Life Extension, right?
Yeah.
That's the company. The product, again, is, tell me again.
Neuromag,
N-E-U-R-O-M-A-G.
It contains only magnesium L-threonate. Next product, from the same company as before, microingredients.com, magnesium glycinate.
Okay.
There it is.
There.
So,
perfect. Okay.
These are the things that you take on an empty stomach that will, in fact, decalcify your body and get your body to put calcium where it belongs, your bones, your teeth, and your fingernails. Not complicated, but you do have to do it at the right time. Cannot take magnesium with meals. Now, D3, on the other hand, you absolutely have to take with a meal that has fat in it and vitamin C to absorb it. Okay? And you should only take D3 three times a week, never every day. I remember one of your guests telling everybody he took it three times a week. I was like, that guy's pretty smart. He knows what he's doing. Don't take D3 every day. Iron, for you women that have low iron, if you take it every day, you won't absorb it. Because when you absorb iron, day one, your body produces a chemical, prevents you from absorbing it for a day and a half to 2 days. So when you take iron, you take a big dose on day one, you don't take it day two or three, and you take a big dose on day four and watch your iron levels climb like a rocket. Do you know most doctors that I've spoken to, 90% of the doctors I talk to don't even know they're prescribing iron supplements all the time, take one in the morning and one at night, and they don't understand why their patients have absorption problems. I literally send them the studies where they check your iron levels every 2 hours. People they dose every day, people they dose twice a day, and people they dose once every 3 days. And these studies conclusively prove that you cannot take iron every day. It doesn't work. Your body produces a chemical. So your body adapts. When you stimulate your body will often accept the stimulus, but then it will adapt to protect you from being overstimulated. And it's the same thing with iron. When you take iron, your body produces a chemical that prevents its absorption for a period of time. So you're just making expensive urine if you take iron every day. 1 day on, 2 days off. And that's how you get your iron up. How do I know? Ask me how I know. Because my wife lost a bunch of weight and her iron levels were catastrophe. They were low, as low could be. In fact, the doctor going over her blood work asked me if I was married to a dead woman. Her iron levels were so low. And he prescribed her iron every day, twice a day. And her iron levels didn't come up. And I said, well, I see you taking the iron, honey. Obviously, you've got an absorption problem. Let me research this, see if there's any modern studies on absorption. And sure enough, I found one out of Oxford. I found one out of Harvard. I mean, I looked around all over the world, and I found three studies on iron, and two of them conclusively prove that you cannot take iron every day. It's not effective. It doesn't work.
And folks, and Sam, if I can chime in on this, my dog, Lady, had, because obviously of the blood disorder, she was not, her iron was, she was a dead dog, basically, her iron level. So I had this very same discussion with the doctor of veterinary medicine. Believe it or not, dogs' systems are pretty kind of like ours. And he said, you need to give this iron liquid twice a day. The problem was he gave me 2 ounces or 60 milliliters for the metric part. And I was supposed to give 20 milliliters per day forever. Again, the problem is you've got a bottle with 60 milliliters. I give 20 a day. That bottle lasts 3 days. So I got to thinking, and I got to remembering what you were talking about. Maybe off air, I don't know, on air. Anyway, I contacted the doctor of medicine, and I said, I don't think this is right. He said, no, it's right. I said, you know, with people, and I cited, I'm not going to repeat what you said, but I cited that. And about 4 hours later, he called me, and he said, man, whoa, thank you. I didn't know this. Don't give it to her every day. No. So what you're saying is 100% right. And for people and for your best furry friends. So just saying, folks, stuff to learn from Sam. Real life experience right here very recently. Go ahead.
Well, I'm one of these people that believes that truth comes from God. And if you love him, he will give you what you need when you need it. And my wife needed an answer. And so I started to look. And I'm going to be honest with you, that moment trying to solve her iron absorption problem was a big wake-up call for me. Because I talked to 10 different doctors about her iron absorption, maybe 15. I know a lot of doctors. A lot of doctors afford custom guns. So I've got over 120 customers that are doctors. And I can just tell you, they can afford the stuff that I build.
Go figure.
A lot of them, I have friendships with them. They become my friends over time. Yeah. They come down and train. We talk about lots of things. And none of them knew about the iron absorption issue. Some of these guys are really bright too, but they just hadn't read any of the modern studies since 2019 on iron absorption for humans. I just happened to go specifically looking for that. And sure enough, we solved my wife's problem. And now her iron levels are fantastic on her blood work. But we only got it up where it needed to be when she started taking an iron supplement every third day, 1 day on, 2 days off, 1 day on. and her iron blood levels came up immediately. And now they're in a very healthy range. You know, so I can tell you this, there's so much information out there that if you want to learn about this, the sky's the limit. I mean, you can learn as much as you want to learn, as much as you have time for. I'm lucky I read really fast, but that helps me get through a lot of different medical studies in an evening. But it's a shame that American doctors aren't reading modern medical research. They're simply playing businessman and pharmaceutical rep. And I'll give you a perfect example of this, trying to say that your cholesterol's high, therefore you should be on this statin. People that have heart attacks and strokes have low cholesterol. The Olympic athletes, the professional athletes, the people I hung out with when I was young, all of us had cholesterol levels between 250 and 350, which would be considered astronomically high. Now, you want to know what's in your lipid panel that does correlate to cardiovascular disease? It's your triglycerides. Get your triglycerides under 50. Figure out how to do that. And I'll just tell you, you eat fat and you eat protein and you don't eat carbs and sugars. But since we're talking about cardiovascular health, let's come at it from different axes. I just handed you the supplement answer for cardiovascular health. There's a peptide answer.
Okay, hold on. We do have a question here.
Yep.
Before you stray too far away from iron.
Yes.
What's the dosage for iron recommended? Catch all for everyone recommended?
Well, it would depend on your blood work. How low are you?
Well, okay. I mean, is there such a thing as like for the average person or no?
Not really. It's very specific.
All right.
It's very individualistic. Like I have a friend, Rich Brown, he weighs 300 pounds.
Okay.
His iron dose is dramatically different than my wife, who's, you know, basically
not 300 pounds.
Barrow at 148, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she's skinny as a rail, strong, got muscle on her, you know, but, and also your metabolism affects how big a dose you should actually take. So that's okay. A really individual question that takes some real specific blood work numbers.
All right. Now, just to be clear again, Sam, I know you might want to throw something at me here, but I just want to make sure we answer these questions because there's a lot of information being tossed out here.
Yeah, it's good to It's good to know these things. But get your blood work done. Oh, by the way, my wife found an incredible resource for blood workup. It's called jasonhealth.com. So we found out through LabCorp the blood work that we needed to get people started on peptides was almost $800. Through jasonhealth.com, the same lab work for your blood, $155.
And I can verify to the audience that website, look, it may appear complicated. It's not. If I can do it, you can do it. Jason Health, just like it sounds, jasonhealth.com. Really simple. But extremely important because
incredible resource.
Yeah. Yes. Great, and great stuff. Wonderful.
She's so good. My wife's so good at research. She has been a blessing to so many people through the things that she finds and she learns. And we've kind of been on this health journey together over the last 3 years. And we have both benefited enormously from each other's research. So it's kind of a cool deal to be married to someone like that.
Yeah. And folks, look, none of us are going to change the world, okay? Well, we may through our actions, you know, through like the butterfly effect, perhaps. But I'm talking about in the here and now. What's more important to talk about? I would dare say this because I can't afford to lose listeners and viewers because, you know, then they'll be in the single digits. But. You can benefit your family, your children. Oh my goodness! Hey, parents, maybe. This is what this is all about, and also your best furry friends. Go ahead, Sam. Continue.
I want to live long enough to see my grandson Gavin hit his first home run.
Yeah, man.
You know, I want to see his brother. I want to live long enough to see his brother get married. You know, I don't need to be racing motorcycles at the age of 85, probably. but I want to be around and be cognizant and coherent and be able to enjoy my grandchildren living as young adults. I want to be part of their lives. I mean, I just love spending time around my kids and my grandkids. And so that's something that's important to me. And so taking care of yourself, you know, by the way, that's an operator tenet, you know, as a warrior, is that you have to have a high level of self-care so that you have extra energy and margin to help your teammate if they get into trouble.
That's right.
I mean, we don't get strong just so we can carry 280 rounds of ammo. You know, that doesn't weigh, you know, that doesn't weigh 15 pounds. We get strong and we weight train so that if one of our buddies go down, we can pick him up and carry him out of a hot zone. And if you've never ranger rolled a guy in full kit, then you may not understand how strong you have to be to get a guy on your back and get him off the ground all by yourself and do it quickly. But there's a technique. Just look up ranger roll. You'll see how it's done. You know, but that's why we train. And that's why we want extra strength. We want surplus ATP, surplus strength, so we can rise to the occasion in the moment and win. And it's just the way it works. And that's why our CAG operators are on peptides, our SEALs are on peptides, our Olympic athletes use them. Now, WADA has, they're so effective in repairing muscle that it's allowed athletes to work out faster. So when you compete now, WADA has just put BPC 157 and TB 500 on the ban list because it's too effective in keeping athletes healthy and strong. It basically, if you work your, let's say you work your quad muscles twice a week, resistance training, you go on BPC 157 and TB 500, you'll recover so fast you can work that same muscle group three times a week instead of two times. It's a distinct advantage as a human to be strong. By the way, I want every listener out there to understand this. We have a couple of indicators as scientists that give us a decent picture about longevity. How long are you going to live? You know what the number one physical trait that is the most accurate in predicting how
long? Oh, my favorite word is coming. Go ahead.
Leg strength.
Oh, legs. Okay.
Yeah, the muscle in your legs. Uh-huh. Right? That's the number one indicator. How much muscle do you have in your legs? Well, here's the problem. Most people over the age of 55 can't put muscle on. And the reason, there's two reasons. They're low on ATP production, so they don't have enough energy to build muscle. All their ATP is being used to keep their heart beating and their diaphragm muscles expand in the lungs and their brain somewhat functioning because they're so low on ATP. But if you increase your ATP production and you eat protein and you have a tiny little natural pulse of growth hormone, your body can heal and it can grow muscle even at my age of 69. I went from working out with 100, 130, 140 on the bench press last year, and with these peptides, I'm now working out with 210, and I put up 240, a stack on the Nautilus machine last week. First time in years I lifted the whole stack of weight on a Nautilus training machine. And so I've almost doubled my upper body strength in 4 months on peptides. And my leg strength has come up a good 35%.
Again, important for lifespan. Leg strength you mentioned. I was thinking of telomeres, but leg strength, obviously.
That's a brain indicator. Yeah, the length of your telomeres of life expectancy. Right. But that's really cell life, not necessarily health span like leg strength is.
Okay.
The telomeres, when they get to a certain shortness, you have a process called senescence. The cell becomes senescent, and then you have apoptosis, and the cell dies completely and gets broken up, and some of the fragments get used. Some of them get pooped or peed out of your system through your liver, kidneys, and other filtration mechanisms.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is every senior American, conservative, God-loving, God-fearing American should be working on their leg strength, because the stronger Christians are physically, the stronger they are mentally, the stronger our nation is. The clearer thinking we are, the healthier our brains are, the healthier our bodies are, the stronger our nation is. And that's why I'm so committed to medical freedom in this country. And that's why I have devoted everything I have this winter to creating a medical revolution in the United States. Americans need to be the CEO of their bodies. Nobody else, not the FDA, not the CDC, and sure the hell not these senators bought off by the drug companies.
If I can share this real quick story with you, last week, I think it was, earlier in the week, my days are run together. I posted something on X about a lady, and just put a couple of pictures up. Make a long story short. I received a call from a blocked number, and I'm thinking, crap, spam or scam, whatever it might be. And to my surprise, on the other end of the phone was an individual who I promised I would keep the conversation confidential, who is working directly with RFK Jr. And the discussion was actually about my dog. Okay. However, it drifted into the very topic you are talking about. And look, I don't know what you think of RFK.
I like him.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I do too, especially now. I was told, and take it for what this is worth, I was told that the more and more people, especially with the exposure Joe Rogan gave this and others gave this, that this will be, and everyone listening and watching this, folks, this is coming up to be one of the most beneficial. It's going to revolutionize America, the health in America.
Okay? Absolutely.
I don't know how else to summarize that discussion. That individual, which is why, when you mentioned the two peptides for Lady, my dog, which is why, from that conversation, I was able to, I could have spoken to you about this, but the very same compounds for her was mentioned by this contact because of research, not in the U.S., but overseas.
Yes.
And that's why I should have them by the morning. When you might say, well, what took you so long? Well, it really didn't take me that long, considering that there was a weekend in there. And you know what? Frankly, it might have been Monday. I'm not even sure. But nonetheless, that's the accuracy of your information. And folks, if you wonder why this is important, I just told you. This RFK Jr. is our HHS. They're actively, what's the word?
Promoting they're battling the FDA entrenched bureaucrats, and they're battling the crooked senators that are bought and paid for. And there's a war going on right now for control of your biology.
Oh, and the level of anger that exists right now within that department is off the charts because of there's a lot of infighting. There's a lot of fighting among medical professionals. There's a lot of fighting everywhere. I'm just that I don't think you have to have an inside source to see that. I'm telling you what. So pay attention, folks, because this is something you're on the ground floor of. Go ahead and continue.
My oldest son is married to an MD. This gal graduated number one in her class in med school. She is really a sharp woman. I love her to death. But we had a knockdown, drag out argument about this about 5 months.